Today's reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 5 through to verse 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
I came across a definition of prayer a couple of years ago, written by C.S. Lewis, that has really stuck with me. I guess like a lot of C.S. Lewis, it's very memorable, very simple, and it's this. True prayer, according to Lewis, is the real me speaking to the real God. And I just think that's a great definition of prayer to kind of spend some time and to camp out in for a while. True prayer is the real me speaking to the real God. I think it's a hugely helpful description of prayer because it forces us to ask two questions that are really at the heart of the Christian message. Who is the real me and who is the real God? And I want to say that those questions are really foundational to any understanding of prayer. And without answering those questions honestly, prayer just doesn't work. See, prayer becomes something, just something we do, a sort of religious or spiritual performance. Maybe we speak words out into the universe with no real hope of being heard or understood, with no confidence that our words will change anything in us or in the world around us, with no hope of a relationship with the one that we're speaking to. But according to Lewis, true prayer is the real me speaking to the real God. And I want to suggest that is a biblical understanding of prayer. And it's a great description for us to use as we begin this new sermon series this morning, looking at Jesus' great prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11. And in fact, there's no better place for us to go to answer those two questions that Lewis poses about real prayer. Who is the real me? And who is the real God? So taking the second question first, who is the real God? Well, the Christian answer to that question is, the real God is the God who reveals himself through Jesus Christ. I've always loved the way John's Gospel puts it in its opening chapter. It says this, John 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. See, at the heart of the Christian message, this astonishing claim, yes, no one's ever seen God, but Jesus reveals the living God to us, the real God to us. If we want to know what God is like, we look at Jesus, says the Bible. John 14, verse 9 says this, Jesus speaking, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So amazingly, we can know who the real God is, the God who made the universe, the God who made every single one of us, by looking at Jesus Christ. And as a result, if we want to learn how to pray, How to talk to that real God with integrity, with honesty, and with confidence that he hears us, then Jesus is the greatest teacher we could ever hope for. You see, it's not only said, actually, if you want to humble someone, ask them about their prayer life. I would guess that hardly anyone watching this video would describe themselves as great at praying. We all struggle to pray. I just don't know what to say. I just can't concentrate long enough to get going. God just seems distant from me. What difference does praying make anyway? And occasionally, if we're feeling brave, we might open a book on prayer. There's lots of them out there. But usually reading about someone else's great prayer life just kind of makes us feel worse. But you see, here is where Jesus is so gloriously different. See, Jesus is the greatest prayer coach we could ever wish for. See, as the Son of God, Jesus knows exactly what kind of prayers God wants for us. He sees exactly where our prayers so often go wrong. But Jesus is also the Son of Man. He's also a human being, and so he understands our struggles with prayer. He knows how weak we often feel, whether physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are. So he's able to help us when we're tempted to give up praying. See, where other prayer experts or prayer coaches make us feel inadequate, where other experts maybe crush us with their skill at prayer, Jesus never does. In fact, Jesus' words in Matthew 11, verse 20, are for all of us when we come to prayer. "Come to me," says Jesus, "all who are weary and burdened." You might say, "Come to me, all who struggle in prayer, all of you who are tempted to give up on prayer completely, and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." See, I want us to see throughout this series in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus' teaching on prayer is given to help us and even to heal our prayers, to show us where we're going wrong, but also to come alongside us. Jesus wants to teach us how to pray to our Father in heaven as we look to Jesus and as we learn from him. So let's begin our time in the Lord's Prayer in this video by listening to what Jesus says to us about prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Just look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. We just had that read out to us. And the context of Jesus' words are striking here. It's Jesus teaching on prayer comes in the middle of the so-called Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. And the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' vision for life in the kingdom of heaven. See, in this sermon, Jesus wants to show people what it will look like for them to follow him in this world. What does it look like for someone to live with God as their king through their faith in Jesus? What will their lives look like? What are the things that they will love? And what are the things that they will hate? What are the things that they will fight for? And what are the things that they will fight against? And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus turns his attention on three key areas of life in the kingdom of heaven: giving to the needy, fasting, and prayer. And Jesus introduces this section with a warning, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." See, according to Jesus here, it's possible to do what seem to be deeply spiritual things, to do really good things, but to do them for the wrong reasons. And Jesus includes prayer in that category. So if you like, in this bit of Matthew chapter 6 we're looking at today, Jesus begins by teaching his disciples how not to pray. That's verses 5 to 8. Before he then moves on to how to pray, verses 9 to 15. So first of all then, how not to pray, verses 5 to 8 of Matthew 6. See, Jesus' teaching on prayer here, it's kind of a mixture of warnings and promises. And the first warning comes in verse 5. Warning number one: don't pray to impress other people. Verse 5 here. And when you pray, says Jesus, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. See, the picture Jesus paints here of someone praying publicly in such a way that no one could miss what an amazingly spiritual person they are. You see, Jesus is in no doubt here. The reason that person's praying is to be seen by others. They're not talking to their Father in heaven. They're praying to impress the people around them. And Jesus' verdict on that type of prayer is to call it hypocrisy. And when Jesus calls someone a hypocrite in the Gospels, it's one of the harshest things he has to say to them. Again, I'd love to tell you that I've never fallen into this wrong way of praying that Jesus describes in Matthew 6, but that would be a lie. Actually, one thing I remember a few years ago, I was at a summer school of theology in Cambridge for a week. Yes, really. Rock and roll, my life is a very exciting one. But anyway, at dinner one night, I was asked to give thanks for the meal. And I just suddenly tried to pray the most theologically complex prayer of my life, just to impress the people around me. I think I probably squeezed in an overview of the Old and New Testaments before finally coming to an end and people were finally allowed to eat. And I just remember when I said Amen at the end of that prayer, I realized I hadn't been praying to God at all. I had been praying to impress the people around me. In Jesus' words, I had prayed like a hypocrite. It looked like I was praying to God, but actually, I was just trying to impress the people around me. Jesus says, don't let your prayers become about impressing other people rather than talking to your Father in heaven. And alongside that warning, Jesus gives us a promise here. And the promise is in verse 6. The promise is, when you pray, you are seen by God. Verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Again, I love the way Jesus speaks here because Jesus really names, really clearly, one of the big challenges of prayer we face in this life. We pray to a God we can't see. He says, you pray to your Father who is unseen. See, the Bible calls on us to live by faith, not by sight. And so we have to trust that God hears our prayers, even though we cannot see him. And that makes prayer difficult sometimes. That makes us want to pray for the people we can see to impress them rather than to pray to the Father we can't see. But you see, Jesus gives us a promise here. Even though we can't see God, God sees us. And he says God will never close his eyes to us as we pray to him. See, the promise that God sees us wherever we are, whether we're out in public or we're alone in a room with the door closed, as Jesus describes here, that might sound a bit frightening at first. God sees you. God is watching you. But look at how Jesus describes God here. Twice he refers to God as your Father in heaven. See, the God who sees us, he isn't some sort of distant secret police officer kind of keeping us under close surveillance, waiting for us to slip up so we can punish us. No, he's our Father who loves to see us, who loves to see what we are doing, and who wants to draw close to us. Again, we're going to see again and again in this series, Jesus invites everyone who trusts in him to call God Father. And what are we saying about God when we call him Father? We're saying, actually, God loves me. I am his dearly loved child. My Father loves to hear me speak to him. My Father wants to spend time with me and for me to spend time with him. So Jesus warns us here, don't get distracted by the people around you. Remember, you are seen by God. You are loved by God. Therefore, don't try to impress other people. Instead, pray to the God who sees you and who loves you. There's a second warning that Jesus gives in these verses, and it's this, verse 7. Don't pray to impress other people. And then verse 7, don't pray to impress God. Again, the idea that Jesus challenges in verse 7, it's another one that actually all too easily affects the way that we pray as Christians. The longer my prayer is, we think, the more God's going to be impressed with me. The longer my prayer, the more likely God will give me what I'm asking for. The more words I use, preferably Christian jargon, the more likely God will be to answer me. That's how we often think about prayer. But Jesus will have none of it, verse 7. And when you pray, he says, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. See, why do we have to pray long prayers? Well, according to Jesus in verse 5, it's because you are known by God. God knows you already, verse 8. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is where we come to the second part of that definition of prayer we opened with. The real me speaking to the real God. See, Jesus wants us to see here, your Father in heaven knows the real you. He knows everything about you, warts and all. He knows the things you're proud of and are happy to share with other people. And he knows the things you're ashamed of, that you desperately want to hide from other people. You are known by God, the good and the bad, the attractive parts of you and the ugly parts. You on a good day and you on a bad day. Your Father in heaven knows everything about you. And yet, says Jesus, he still chooses to love you. He still chooses to hear your prayers. He still chooses to invite you into relationship with him. See, we don't have to hide from God as if we could anyway. You see, you are known by your Father, says Jesus. So you can be honest with him about your needs. It's an amazing thing, but we don't have to hide from a holy God, even as fallen and foolish people, because of the person teaching us this prayer. See, at the cross, Jesus paid the price for the worst parts of us, the very worst parts of who you are, the things you're ashamed of. Jesus paid the price in full for those. He took the punishment for the worst sins you have ever committed in thought, in word, and in deed. And because of that, you don't have to hide from God. You can come to him honestly as your Father in heaven, and you can speak to him thanks to Jesus' saving death on the cross. See, again, this is why Jesus is the greatest prayer coach we could ever imagine. Not only does he tell us how to pray, but through his saving death on the cross, he has adopted us into God's family forever so that we can pray in the first place to God as our Father in heaven, who sees us, who knows us, and who loves us. See, Jesus begins this section of teaching on prayer by telling us how not to pray. Don't pray to impress other people. Don't even pray to impress God. Remember, when you pray, you are seen by God and you are known by God. And after kind of trying to demolish some of the wrong approaches we take to prayer, Jesus then turns his attention to teach us how to pray. And he does that by giving us the words of this prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to work through the Lord's Prayer phrase by phrase in this series over the coming weeks. So I'm not going to go into any great detail about this bit of Jesus' teaching here. But as we finish, I just want to give us an overview of what the Lord's Prayer says to us about that definition of prayer we started with. What does the Lord's Prayer say to us about who is the real God? And what does it say to us about who is the real me? when I pray to him? First of all then, who is the real God? Well, according to Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, God is your Father. The real God is your Father if you trust in Jesus. See how Jesus begins this great prayer. Our Father in heaven. It's an Our Father. It's the fact that every Christian can call God Father. But also there's maybe even a hint there that just as God is Jesus' Father and has been from all eternity, Jesus invites us to have the same relationship with God that he has always enjoyed with him. Our Father in heaven. If you trust in Jesus, God is your Father. And that makes all the difference to how we pray. I don't know about you, but when I was as a kid, a very young child, I would sometimes argue with my friends about basically whose dad was the best. So I would say, oh, well, my dad's stronger than your dad. My dad could beat your dad in a fight. If you get on my nerves, I'm going to get my dad on you. Again, there's part of that, that's our pride in a father that maybe a small child has. But you see, Jesus invites everyone who trusts in him to call the God who made the universe my Father. And as a result, if you're a Christian watching this video, your dad really is the greatest in the universe. Your father really is stronger than any enemy you face. Your father really is able to protect you and provide for you. Your father really does help you when you cry out to him. We're going to explore more of that next week when we come to the first phrase of this prayer. But just for now, if you're a Christian, God is your Father and you are his child. The real God is your Father. The real you is a child, a dearly loved child of that Father. And what that means is you can go to him at any time. You can talk to him about anything. You can cry out to him to help you, knowing that he loves you and he cares for you, as that perfect father loves his children. And I want to say, grasping hold of that truth, that is the power to transform our prayer lives here and now. So the first thing we learn about the real God from Jesus is God is your Father. The second thing we learn about the real God from this prayer is God is your Lord. That's verses 9 to 10. He says, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus reminds us here, whenever we pray to God as our Father, we need to remember something. Actually, as dearly loved as I am not the center of the universe. God is. Actually, our Father, he's the Lord of all creation. And so it's his name, his kingdom, his will that ultimately matters in this universe. And I need to learn to submit my will to his and to worship him as my Lord. See, when we pray to God in Jesus' name, we should humble ourselves before him. All too often we can think of prayer as sort of God as this genie in a bottle. We sort of rub the lamp and he gives us whatever we want. But no, Jesus tells us here, God is your Lord. His name is hallowed. He has a kingdom. His will is perfect. God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's timings are not our timings. And so a big part of prayer, Jesus teaches us here, is will we trust God with the things that we don't understand? Will we trust him with the things that we're not in control of? And actually, Jesus invites us to pray those prayers because we need to pray them. Actually, that sense of us not being in control, of having things around us we don't understand, that can be frightening at first until we realize, actually, I might not understand this, but my Father in heaven does. I might feel weak and helpless, but my Father in heaven is never helpless because he is Lord. So we humble ourselves before him, we run to him, and we learn what it means to trust him in our lives. So Jesus wants to show us the real God. If we trust in Jesus, he is our Father, he is our Lord, And finally, he is our Savior, verses 11 to 13. Again, the second half of the Lord's Prayer is all about us asking God for help. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. See, a major part of prayer, according to Jesus here, is that we need God's help. We ask God to help us, and we ask God to save us. Jesus wants us to see here that God alone can meet our physical needs day by day. So we should ask him for that. God alone can forgive us our sins. So we should ask him to do that every day of our lives. God alone can protect us from the evil one. So let's cry out to him to do that for us. See, knowing God as our Savior transforms the way we pray to him. So the Lord's Prayer, we're going to see in the weeks to come, reveals to us the real God we speak to. And it is good news as we pray to him. He is our Father. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And finally, what does the Lord's Prayer teach us about ourselves, about the real me? If prayer is the real me speaking to the real God, then Jesus teaches us the real me is someone who needs God's grace and help every day of our lives. Prayer really begins when we realize I am someone who needs God's grace and help every day of my life. We're back in the second half of this prayer. We need God to provide for our physical needs. Give us today our daily bread. We need God to forgive us our sins. Only he can. We need God to protect us from the evil one. Only he can. Jesus wants to see here the real me is someone who needs help. More than that, someone needs the help that only God can give. The American pastor, Tim Keller, tells the story of how his wife, Kathy, really helped him grasp that reality of just how much we need God's grace and help every day. He and his wife were going through periods of illness and quite serious sickness. And one evening, Kathy, his wife, asked him to do something they'd never really managed to do in their married life. She asked him to pray with her every night before they went to sleep. And to help them, encourage them to do that, Kathy put it like this. She said, imagine you were diagnosed with such a lethal condition that the doctor told you you would die within hours unless you took a particular medicine, a pill, every night before you go to sleep. Imagine you were told that you could never miss it, otherwise you would die. Okay, would you forget to take that pill, she asked. Would you sort of, just not quite get around to it some nights? No, you would take that medicine because otherwise you know you will die. And then Kathy said to Tim, she said, if we don't pray to God together every night, we're not going to make it. We have to pray. So let's do it, she said. So often we forget to pray because maybe we just think it doesn't make a difference. Or maybe we think, well, I don't really need it. Jesus tells us here, we are people who need God's grace and help every single day of our lives. We come to him as if we need that medicine to keep us alive. According to Jesus here, the real you cannot live for Jesus on your own. You need your Father's help to provide for you, to forgive you your sins, to protect you. So Jesus challenges us here. Will you pray to your Father? Will you cry out to him for help? And will you keep crying out to him for help every day of your lives? The real you, the real me, is someone who needs God's help. And the real Father is someone who invites us to pray to him. That's who the real God is. He's your Father who loves you, your Lord who is able to help you, your Savior who rescues and protects you. So again, Jesus invites us here. Will you pray to him? Will you cry out to your Father to help you every day of your life? That is what Jesus wants to teach us about prayer. True prayer is the real me speaking to the real God, the God Jesus reveals to us. And by giving us the Lord's Prayer, Jesus wants us to see the living God for who he really is and to see ourselves for who we really are. Because it's only as we see how weak we are and how strong and kind God is that we will really begin to pray. So as we begin this series, let's ask Jesus to teach us how to pray in the weeks ahead with honesty, being real about who we are, but also with confidence because of who our God is, our Father, our Lord, our Saviour. So we're going to look at this prayer over the next few weeks, phrase by phrase. But as we finish today, I just want to make one final suggestion to us. It's a suggestion a friend of mine made to me a few years ago, and it really helped me, actually. If you're struggling to pray in your life right now, if one of those struggles is, I just don't know what to say to God right now. I just feel so distant from him, or I just don't know what to say. Or maybe if you feel, well, God just feels distant from me. Or maybe I just feel too guilty about the things I've done to go anywhere near him. Let me just suggest, why don't you pray the Lord's Prayer every day for the coming week? Why don't you let Jesus give you the words to say to your Father in heaven every day for this week? And let Jesus' prayer begin to remind you who the real God is and who you really are. You could pray the whole prayer slowly, just going over every phrase. You could just pray one phrase at a time, even just the opening words, Our Father in heaven. Pray that. Camp out in that. Live in that phrase. And let the words of this prayer teach you to draw near to your Father in heaven, to cry out to him in your need, and to do that with confidence, knowing that he is able and willing to help us out of his great love for us, as a father loves his children. Let me finish by praying the words of this prayer for us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.